Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Mini Podcast, where we share tips to empower leaders in the nonprofit world. I am Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here today with my partner and teammate and friend, David Langiuli. Hey, David.
Hey, Margaret. And what are we gonna we're gonna give the audience some relief today from all this stuff? All that, like, come on, stop talking about these saboteurs. I can't live with myself.
Relentless beat down of saboteurs. Yeah. Right. We're gonna hopefully offer a little sliver of hope.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, these saboteurs, you know, we've been going through them like about one a month. We've made up some saboteurs of our own, like the scarcity saboteur, you know, scarcity mindset. But we thought we might, there's a glimmer of hope in all this. You're not doomed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the cool thing about this positive intelligence program is certainly it helps us get aware about these saboteurs, but it does not strand us in awareness hell, right? It gives us tools to look at things differently and to come into a different relationship with these shady saboteur characters.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's kind of like I always think about the positive intelligence methodology as like a three-step process. The first is, you know, notice. And what I mean by that is there's some kind of afflictive emotion happening. So this is part, you know, first is just being able to notice that you're having some kind of frustration or some kind of sadness or something is happening that's in the negative emotional spectrum.
Yeah. And for me, it's often associated, like if I check in with my body, like that's how I know, and I'll get like a tightening across my solar plexus, or I'll have trouble catching my breath, or, you know, there's something going on there that lets me know, hi, Jack.
Yeah. Like last night, I'll give you an example of this. We're talking about in my family going to Pennsylvania to visit my daughter, Claire, on campus this fall, because Lillian and I are not going to be able to both be at her graduation in the spring. And so we were looking at options for like when Lillian and my younger daughter would be off from school, like on a Monday. So there is a weekend in September where they're off and we could make it a weekend. Well, it turns out to be parents' weekend at Villanova. And normally, you know, we'd be like, oh, like red light, no way, we're going. And that on parents' weekend, you can't find anything. You can't find any, which is true. We were looking at for hotels. And then I spotted this one hotel that was available nearby. And so, and we're giving you guys a sneak peek on some of these sage powers. So I just got into action, like right away.
Right. Yeah.
Like, book it. Book it, Dano, you know? and Lillian went and looked for a rental car because we have to have a rental car to get around because these hotels are not near the campus. It's close enough. But anyway, so she found like a really good rate on hers and then she booked it. And then I was like, okay, let's get the flights. And then Lillian got paralyzed by her stickler.
Yeah.
And the hyper-rational, which we're going to get to. She wanted to analyze and look at all the different options. And but she was getting very frustrated. I just said, book it. It's there. The flights are there. We're not going to do anything better. It was on Frontier. And let's just grab them now. And she's like, yeah, but I want to make sure it's the best. I was like, okay. I said, and she was getting very frustrated. Like, so that was how, and I said, your hyper-rational and stickler are getting the better of you right now. So let's just book this. It's fine. And then she did. She got into action, you know? So that's how I noticed in the atmosphere. You can also, when you're doing this work with others, you can just notice when someone is getting hung up by a saboteur, even though they know, like my wife knew that this was the action we wanted to go. It was the right weekend. Like two blocks had already fallen into place, and And she was like, oh, this is getting me so stressed out.
Yeah. And anyway. So what we want to talk about, right, is today was, yes, you get into the awareness.
Right. And then awareness is step number one.
And then step number two is this thing that Shirzad calls the sage perspective.
And even before you go there, there's an intermediate step. There's like, once you notice you're being afflicted by a saboteur, attacked. It's true. Sometimes it
I
feels
like the
like
word
that.
Hijacked. Hijacked
is
what it
better.
Feels like. Yeah.
Hijacked.
Whose
that's
hands?
Better.
Whose hands are on that steering wheel right
exactly.
now?
Exactly. Right? But actually, you let go of the steering wheel and you do something called PQ reps, which if you come into the program, we and Shirzad will teach you how to retrain your neural pathways. To sort of the first thing is awareness. Next step is to come off it, and you do some very mindful things to, right. you know, some exercises actually getting into the body. And then the third step is to shift to the sage perspective. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Right.
So let's talk about
maybe
that's
there's
my,
four
that's
steps
because
then it's
step.
Finding which sage you want to,
yeah.
you want
yeah.
to pull you out of your
that's
mess.
True.
But,
so that would be like the fourth step.
Yeah. So the sage perspective is this idea that your judge wants to make things good or bad, you know,
right.
wants to make things yummy or yucky, right? There's
right.
a very binary way of seeing
right.
seeing things. Whereas if you can get into a sage perspective, it's a place of trust, and it's a place of understanding that from every hard circumstance, there may be a gift for you there.
Right.
It may not be obvious, and
right.
it may not come for a while, but to open yourself to the possibility that from things that feel hard, from things that your judge wants to make bad or wrong,
right.
something good might be there, something positive, some learning, right?
Right. Yeah. The judge will come in and judge. And remember, the judge is the master saboteur. And the other ones we've been working through, we call them accomplices. But the judge comes in and says, oh, this is wrong, or this is bad. Like this circumstance, this person, this difficult person shouldn't be in my life. Or this problem or challenge shouldn't be happening to me. You know, I did all the right things, but and it's still broken.
Yeah.
Right?
And even at the beginning of the story that you were telling, you know, oh, it turns out that your one free weekend is also parents' weekend. And your first reaction to that, David, it sounds like was, oh, hell no.
Yeah,
like,
hell no.
I'm
right.
not going with the other riffraff. Like, that's
exactly.
terrible.
Yeah,
yeah,
no.
And then
and that's,
what
yeah.
switched for you? Something.
What switched for me was, so normally I would have just shut it down right then and there. The
yeah.
judge would have just shut that down.
That weekend's off the table.
Off the table, because that's when, you know, all the crazy parents go there, and there's, you know, it's my
all
sensitive.
All the other crazy parents.
Exactly. Not me.
Not you.
I'm judging all the crazy parents.
That's right.
Actually, I'm sorry. That is blameless discernment. Well, we should have actually a podcast on blameless discernment.
We
I've been
do
to
that.
Parents
yes.
weekend, and I can share firsthand that blameless discernment, there are a lot of crazy
yes.
parents there.
Yes.
But
and
anyway,
I might use language like the activities that get planned on those weekends are not my
right.
jam generally.
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. No, normally yeah. like being around a lot of activity and a lot of noise is not good for my sensitive nervous system. But anyway, but the judge comes in and is like, okay, shuts it down. We're not going, you know, it's just not our jam. And Lillian was with that too. You know, she understands that's generally not the environment we would want to go to camp. We would want a more peaceful weekend. Okay.
Yeah.
But then we got into explore power. The first thing was just noticing, okay, there's a gift here. The gift is that Lillian and Claudia have that Monday off.
The time off, right.
Yeah. So there yeah. was a gift. So, okay, there's a gift in that. And then I was like, okay, let's go to explore power. Like, let's get curious. Let me go look and see if we could even get a hotel. Because I know all these hotels are.
And small town.
Big school, small town. And, you know, you have to go around the campus to find places. And there are, so I go into Marriott, you know, and I'm looking, sold out, sold out, sold out, sold out. I'm going like, and then, whoa, here's one.
Lo and behold, yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So like just that shifting that there was sort of an opportunity to actually go and spend good quality time together. And then the first thing was like, oh, there is a hotel room. Okay. I don't have to pay for it now. Let's hold it.
Yeah.
Bam. You know? Right.
And I'm making up, but I don't know. I'm sure there are other gifts too, but you know, maybe on some level it's going to be fun for your daughter to have a family there when all her friends have their families, right?
Like yes.
You don't even know. I think that's the point here is that
right. Things
open up gifts that,
right. You
can't predict.
Exactly. You can often only see, I love what you're saying. You can, even though there's a part of me that's dreading that weekend, there's a part of me that is really excited about it. So just to be clear, you know,
yeah.
But there is a part of it, like the crowds and she wants us to go to the tailgate and, you know, just being around all these people. It's just not my thing. But after this all happens, I know there will be gifts from this weekend, not the least of which is just being with my daughter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And having an extra day, right? Because if you picked a different weekend when the rest of your family couldn't have had a 3-day weekend, it would have been a shorter visit.
It would have been just like one day there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another gift.
When we are hijacked by our saboteurs, especially the judge, there's no positive anywhere, right?
No.
It's very hard to get things done. It's very hard to feel motivation. And so I think this very important step in the process is just beginning to believe that from these hard circumstances, you just don't know, right? As Shahrzad tells the story, he called the stallion story, but he keeps saying, you know, one of the characters keeps saying, who's to say what's good and what's bad, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if you come into the program, you'll, this is sort of an ancient Chinese story, and we're not going to share it here, but there's a series of circumstances happened to this farmer and his son that's everything. And the villagers keep coming over. Oh, that's so bad. You know, your son broke his leg and this, you know, all this stuff happens. Right. And so the farmer keeps saying to them, who's to say what's good or bad? And then like the next thing happens and it was a gift that the kid had his leg broken.
Yeah. Yes. So it's just an invitation, I think, to be open. You know, when your saboteurs are not having a party, actually, you know, sometimes things lead to good places, things happen exactly the way that, you know, that they do, and that there doesn't have to be anything wrong with it.
Right. The difficulty or the challenge in the sage perspective is trusting that whatever's happening, that you're finding unpleasant or an unpleasant person in your life or some kind of obstacle that you seems insurmountable or actually is insurmountable to your way, the way you want to go.
Yeah.
That there's some gift in that. And I like what Janice says, our partner Janice says about this. And we also say this to the leaders who come into the positive intelligence program. You have to dig or mine for the gifts.
Right.
Yeah.
See, right. They're not always obvious. In fact, rarely are they
rarely.
Obvious.
Yeah. And so one way, you know, if you're starting to experiment with this and you're like, yeah, I can see in my life where, you know, that divorce that I went through or that stroke that I'm just speaking for my own life. That stroke. I mean, there's so many.
You are using the first person. So I am.
Yeah. That stroke that I had, you know, it's sometimes it's really, or you could speak for your own, you know, childhood. And I know you're starting to write about it. And I actually see that as a gift for you. Now you get the opportunity to write about, you know, right, what happened in your childhood and maybe help others. And I'm sure there are other gifts in that for you.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it's right. I mean, again, just right, having had rough things that happened to us, you know, David having a stroke, like here's how this looks. If your victim takes over, right, it doesn't go anywhere good. You know, it's just, it's just, this is hard. This sucks. I've lost things that I had before, but it is.
Yeah. Like part of my
perspective.
Brain.
Exactly. You know. Exactly. But the sage perspective, I think, you know, I really witnessed in you, David, helped you, you know, really climb back out of what could have been a much deeper, darker hole than, you know, and it could have lasted.
It's true. And in my circumstance with the stroke, it affected my language processing center. So speaking was difficult for me for a while, finding words. And then email was extraordinarily difficult. I just couldn't, somehow the neural pathways to, I could read what people were writing to me, but I couldn't respond. It was like my fingers wouldn't like get the words out. I knew what kind of like what words I wanted to say, but they would just come out in a big mess.
Yeah, but and, I imagine at this point you could write a whole essay and have written a few, right, on what are the good things, you know, that have come from that. And I mean, I can attest David sure learned to ask for help in some new ways and found, oh my gosh, there's people around me who are actually really happy to help and be
asking
be
for help
team and
definitely
simplifying
Simplifying my life just more so than I had already done, but even more so, just really simplifying things. And then trusting that, you know, whatever, you know, came back in terms of my language processing would be good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a way of trusting it. I know, I don't know if you want to share with the audience something personal.
I can share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Margaret has a tattoo on the inside of your left arm.
Left arm.
Yes. There it is. it says, trust everything. Trust everything. And that's a helpful reminder for you when
I read it many times a day. Yeah. And it's just different words for the sage perspective. And another one of my teachers, Rick Tamlin, used to say, you know, like, what if life were happening for you instead of to you?
Yes.
Which
I also love that.
Yeah. 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 And I wonder, you know, sometimes we go ahead.
No. And, you know, if you're starting to experiment with this and like, if you're really willing to embrace that in every difficulty or challenge or difficult circumstances, there's a gift or opportunity, you can start to look and see, and you can add like, what's the gift here for me? That's one way, digging.
Yeah.
Another way is, you know, Shirzad will talk about the three gifts, gifts of knowledge, gifts of power, and gift of inspiration. So these are like very specific gifts you could look for.
Yeah. But I think for our listeners, because we do like to give people things to try at home sometimes, and a great exercise is go back to some episode in your life that has been filed under that sucked.
Right.
And just look now from a place of safety, like, was it an unmitigated, you know, space of that sucked, or might there be some threads that you can pull out of there of like new things that were able to be born because of the bad thing that happened?
Yeah. There almost always is, you know, you still have filed it away as bad. Like, that was the worst time of my life at that time, and that shouldn't have happened to me. And then if you really trace it back, if you really look back and see what that led to, in my experience, there's always a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's our challenge to our listeners today, is to go take something out of that dark, cobwebby file cabinet and see if maybe there's a different way, a different perspective, a sage perspective through which to see that chapter.
Yeah. And if you're struggling with some life situation currently, and you're struggling to see, you know, any gift in it, or any opportunity in it, register yourself into the, you know, the one-on-one positive intelligence coaching program.
Yeah.
And if you take it, we'll put a link in the show notes. And if you take that on, if you really take it on, I promise that you will find a gift in your current life situation.
Yeah. I love that. Great.
All right. This was something new, a little teaser for what's coming.
Some more tools to come. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get back to those. Before the end of the year, we're going to have a couple of other nasty characters for you to meet. And then into the new year, we're going to give you some more sage powers.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Great. This mini podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or an annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Please make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now go put it into practice.